Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, and this is the episode for Tuesday, January 16th. Another disappointing loss for the Detroit Pistons. You can follow me, your host, Matt Shook, on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that as well. Follow the Twitter feed for Locked On Pistons as well at Locked On Pistons. And we got the Facebook page now, so follow that at LockedOnPistons.MattShook. We're going to be talking about that Monday afternoon loss to the Charlotte Hornets. And I got an interview that I did on Monday as well with former Detroit Pistons, Detroit News beat writer Vinny Goodwill, who was now on the Chicago Bulls beat here in Chicago for NBC Sports Chicago. So we're going to be talking to him about the Pistons. He saw the Pistons on Saturday night at the United Center, and we're going to get his thoughts on the team as well. But wide receiver Roy Williams, Rodney Stuckey, Herman Moore, Darko Milicic, what do those guys have in common? They're all hanging up in a closet in my parents' house. Sports jerseys are expensive and have a short shelf life. The season you invest in one, you know that guy is getting traded soon. Rep the Squad is your answer for all of this. A mail-in jersey subscription service for authentic jerseys, not the cheap ones. It's genius. Detroit is one of their initial markets. Switch between your favorite styles and stars whenever you'd like. Stafford's gray jersey, Slay and Honolulu blue, Andre Drummond, Reggie Jackson, Grant Hill's teal jersey. They are all on there. New jerseys arrive fresh and clean in 2 to 3 days. It's like the old Netflix system for authentic jerseys. Perfect for your kids who are going to grow out of them anyway. Cancel anytime, and it's a great gift idea as gift subscriptions are available. Locked, L-O-C-K-E-D, is the promo code for 2 weeks free. Again, promo code LOCKED at the website repthesquad.com. Rep the Squad is your answer for this need that you have out there. Support this podcast. Enjoy this fine product. Rep the Squad. We need you to sign up for that, to support Locked On Pistons. But speaking of those Pistons, a loss Monday afternoon to the Charlotte Hornets, 118-107, a Monday Martin Luther King Day matinee game. I watched it. I was at the Bulls game covering it for the Associated Press, and I was in the media room before the Bulls started. So I watched it kind of in and out as I was doing my other responsibilities. But I did the rewatch here tonight of the early fourth quarter when the Hornets took over. They pretty much dominated the entire second half. And, yep, it was just as bad as I thought. Kemba Walker, who a lot of Pistons Twitter and a lot of you guys out there want desperately for the Pistons to acquire, hopefully as soon as possible on the trade deadline. But I have a strong feeling that's not going to happen. But he was great in the second half, 17 of his 20 after halftime as the Hornets cruise to the victory. And Steve Stylus' last game as the fill-in coach for Steve Clifford, who's going to come back and take over as head coach after he had some health problems that he took care of. Dwight Howard had 21 points and 17 rebounds for Charlotte. He dominated Andre Drummond. Dre has had some pretty tough performances against good centers, the quote-unquote old traditional centers of the world. Dwight Howard on opening night and also this night, he played not very well either of those games. DeMarcus Cousins, it seemed like he was trying to do too much. The second half, when Drummond was already in the full grips of his tough afternoon, looks like he was trying to get some things going a little bit too much. He does that weird 14-foot leaner sometimes as opposed to just shooting a shot. He just kind of like flings it up there and hopes it goes in, and that wasn't falling, among other shots that weren't falling for him on Monday afternoon. He finished with just 3 points and 10 rebounds on the game. Marvin Williams, because who cares and who knows about Marvin Williams. He had 21 points, and he just sucks. For some reason, he's one of my hated players in the league. I don't quite know why, but I've always had a problem with Marvin Williams for some reason. Reggie Bullock had 20 and one of the bright spots for the Pistons. He was great in the first half. Pistons made 15 three-pointers, but still could not make it happen. They will return to action at Toronto on Wednesday night for a game where no one really goes to Toronto and wins these days, but wouldn't it be Pistons to go in there and win that game? I'm not saying that's going to happen, but don't be surprised if they turn in a good effort there. But I've got a lot of swirling thoughts in my mind on the Pistons these days, but I got the interview with Vinny Goodwill coming up. We're going to be talking about that and just the trade deadlines in my mind as well. I got some other things, but we've got kind of a full slate for Wednesday's podcast. I'm going to clear up some of those thoughts and maybe think of some things that what are my opinions about the Pistons right now? And I know it kind of changes game to game sometimes with some of you guys out there and me myself. And I'm a traditional conservative kind of guy when it comes to these things. I don't want to blow it up. I don't want to, make these huge trades for the Kemba Walker types right now. I realize that the Reggie Jackson injury is probably the biggest reason why the Pistons are struggling right now, but we could be looking at a lost season here. So some things that to think about as Pistons fans, and here on Locked On Pistons, we're going to be talking about them a little bit later in the week. But like I said, we got Vinnie Goodwill, the former beat writer of the Detroit News, coming up a little bit later in the podcast. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men in that coveted demo, 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes!
Here with Vinnie Goodwill of NBC Sports Chicago, the former Pistons beat writer for the Detroit News. Vinnie, what you saw the Pistons on Saturday night, what do you think about how they're looking right now in terms of trying to get kind of a playoff run together and kind of get things going?
It's tough, Matt. You know, you look at the team, I think a big part of it obviously is Reggie Jackson not being available, probably in the middle, I would say, of that six-week diagnosis for that severely sprained ankle that looked really bad. And considering the way the Pistons play, well, how much it depends on him for shot creation, you're leaving a lot for Andre Drummond to increase his role offensively, to run a lot through him. Tobias Harris, he had a very strong start early in the season, and now you're wondering, can he carry the load of really being the number one option? So to me, a lot of it stems from there with a team that didn't really have a whole lot of margin for error to begin with. And when you take away the most important position on the floor, whether that's point guard or whether that's role and main shot creator, I think that's kind of what you're seeing. I think the team's spirit is being affected by that too.
Now, a little bit more step back, big picture-wise, the Pistons are one of these teams right now kind of stuck in the middle little bit right now. Do you feel like that they're closer to the Eastern Conference Finals or the top five of the lottery? I mean, which way should they be going? I know it's a tough question and a lot of different variables there, but where is this team now and where should they be headed?
Well, I think they've been in the bottom or near the bottom for so long, Matt, you can't go sell your fan base, hey, although I told you we were trying to win for the past 2 or 3 years and we were on an upward trajectory, now we're going to scale it back down, trade guys. I'm not sure if that's necessarily the best option for that particular fan base at this point in their history, where they've missed the playoffs, I want to say maybe 9 of the last 10 years or something of that nature. And for Stan Van Gundy, I don't think that's the road he wants to take. I think he wants to buy and buy big. And I think if you look at him, all of his moves have been bold since he's taken over, as far as even going back to releasing Josh Smith. And then later that year, when Brandon Jennings had his Achilles injury, going to get Reggie Jackson from Oklahoma City, and sort of trying to, as opposed to looking at it and saying, you know what, we're going to pack up and we're going to just reset for the lottery, he went for it. And I think that's the kind of mode that he has to probably go for this time, because of where they are in terms of, you know, him being in year four of his own contract of a 5-year thing. I don't think that's necessary. You can take a step back. And secondly, you know, you've invested a lot into this. And do you cover up mistakes by taking a step back? Or do you, in my opinion, you know what, let's try to mortgage something. And we've gone win now this entire time. I don't think you can necessarily take a step back and say, no, we're not going to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. And maybe stepping back to your realm now these days, the Chicago Bulls, Nico Mirotic is someone who's been tossed around in trade rumors. Detroit's been one of the teams linked to him. Tell us a little bit about Nico and what fans who, you know, catch him once or twice a season might not know about him.
You might think he's a second coming to Dirk Nowitzki if you've seen him play for the past month, but you're talking about stretch shooting big who can basically play, who's primarily a power forward, but, you know, can maybe place a small ball five depending on what type of lineups you throw out there. He's really good at creating his own shot from the wing because he has a ball handling skills that most power forwards can't necessarily keep up with moving their feet, but he's really good off the pick and roll, swing. He's going to hit jump shots. He's going to be a really good defensive rebounder. He's a better defender than what people think he is. And I think that puts him in a difficult position as far as where you're going to get for him in return if you're the Bulls. They want a first-round pick. If you're Stan Van Gundy, can you mortgage a first-round pick, not knowing exactly how the rest of the season is going to go, and say, okay, how much better is he going to make us? Is he going to make us a first-round-and-out team, or is he going to make us a semifinals team? And I think that's kind of the step that you have to take. You can't just say, okay, we're going to get in and get swept by Boston in the first round, or get swept by Cleveland in the first round, and sell hope to our fans when you've been at this for 4 years and expecting to sort of elevate yourself to the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference. But Nico, for any team that's sort of on the fringe, I think he's going to be a welcome addition because I think he's at the stage now where he can be an impact player, you know, 3 out of 5 nights on a schedule.
And we're here after we just watched the Bulls knock off the Heat. Mm-hmm. 14 wins out of 21 games for the Bulls now, who are really, strangely, one of the hottest teams in the NBA over these last, you know, couple months or so. Where's this team going? I mean, everyone thought they were tanking, heading into the top 5 pick. Now they're winning a few games. They might end up a little bit higher than that. What do you think that they need to knock off a move, get rid of some guys and tank a little bit, or what do you think?
It's funny, this time last year, we were all saying, us covering the Bulls and basically even league-wide, saying the Bulls need to pick a direction. You know, when they had Dwayne Wade, they had Rajon Rondo, Jimmy Butler was still here. They were saying, look, either you're going to go all in and try to contend or you're going to strip it all down. They made that decision to strip it all down. The problem was they put together a better team than they anticipated. So now they have to make that decision again where they say, okay, we can leave this here. We cannot trade Nico. We can ride this out and see where we go. Or Robin Lopez, see what we can get for you. Justin Holiday, see what we can get for you. Or Nikola Mirotic, get you on the first thing smoking. I think the Bulls are making the front office make a decision that they don't want to have to make. But it's going to be a decision that they're going to have to make over the next, maybe not even the next 2 weeks, maybe in the next week or so, I think. Because these games are precious. And when you're 5 games out of the bottom of the cellar and you're 6 games out of a playoff spot, you are firmly in no man's land, which is where they didn't want to be, but it's where they are because they've played better over the past 20 games, I think, than they played in the first 23 games when they were 3-20.
Now, Vinny, you covered the Pistons for a while as your first NBA team that you covered, mm-hmm. and you've been here in Chicago about 3 years now. Mm-hmm. As you kind of reflect and look back and maybe have more of a big-picture NBA view, what are some of your thoughts about the Pistons organization, kind of looking back now that you've had another team to kind of compare them to? Are there some things that stand out to you that maybe you've learned along the way, looking back at your time on the Pistons, that kind of stand out about that team or organization?
Of course. My first year was the John Kuster year where the team decided that they didn't want to go to shoot around one morning after the trade deadline. I think when you're in it, you kind of have like a tunnel vision of just doing the job every day, and whatever the drama is, you're not really focused on it. You're just focused on, you know, looking at understanding what normal is. There is no normal. You're trying to establish a normal. But the first year ownership change, and the team couldn't do anything. And I think that did more damage that year of idle. They didn't have a single transaction that entire 2010-11 season. And I think that set them back 3 or 4 years where they're just starting to sort of dig themselves out of it. You know, if you don't have stability in ownership, stability in the front office, stability on the sidelines, it can affect you for years on down the line. And I think they've been searching for that stability ever since, you know, the breakup of that, you know, going to work group with Chauncey Billups and Ben Wallace and Rasheed and all those guys. That's hard to replicate. And I think they were trying to sort of keep themselves from going to the bottom. Every year they were trying to add little pieces here or there, while maybe a middling draft pick, a Greg Monroe here, a Brandon Knight here, and then an Andre Drummond at 9. You know, they were trying to figure out a way to mesh the veterans with the young players without really going to the bottom of tanking or going through what Philadelphia did with the process and everything else. And that's hard to do. It's kind of like you kind of have to make a decision, especially if you don't have a superstar. And they never could get that superstar. They could always win between 25 and 30 games. And that's the worst place to be. You know, maybe it would have been better for them just to, you know what, we're going to tank 2011-12. It's the lockout year. Going to strip it all down so that way we can get, you know, back to the top of the draft, see what happens and everything else. Now, if your new owner doesn't have the patience for it, if Joe Dumars didn't want to go through that, you know what I'm saying, those type of questions would have come up. But I think everybody there, you know, would have admitted that it was a difficult situation I had to deal with, you know, so many things happening at once. You got the end of a run with a lot of veterans, which means they're making a lot of money and they're setting their ways. And if you're trying to keep it together, they're going to expect to try to win. And at the end of that run, you have an ownership transition where you're basically going 2 years without a real NBA owner there. Those two things are very hard to deal with by themselves, let alone together. So I think that sort of set the franchise back. And I think now they've started to dig themselves out of that. And they're starting to see a little bit of sunlight, but then they're right back into sort of this no man's land. But even with the Bulls, you know, they've had stability in the front office, and it hasn't always translated. You know, they had a controversy on the sidelines when I first got here with Tom Thibodeau and all of the drama and everything else in the Derrick Rose situation. Every franchise I've learned has some monster in the closet that they have to deal with. It's just a matter of how well you deal with it, how much you minimize the damage, and how quickly you can cut bait if you realize this isn't working. So many times I've learned that front offices are more concerned about being right than getting it right. And I think that's the biggest downfall of a lot of franchises, not necessarily Detroit, Chicago, but just in general.
So a lot of problems around the NBA. I think a lot of that's created by the fact that the Warriors and the Cavaliers are just so good and have been dominating, and they've created a lot of problems for these teams in the middle class. But Vinny Goodwill, a Detroiter moving up the NBA media circles, thanks a lot for your time on Locked On Pistons. Appreciate it, and thanks for your time.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, man.
Big thanks to Vinny Goodwill of NBC Sports Chicago, the former Detroit News Pistons beat writer, for joining us. You can find him on Twitter at VGoodwill. And so show him some support and tell him the thanks for joining us here on Locked On Pistons as well, and taking the time after he did a long day of covering the Bulls against the Miami Heat on Monday for Martin Luther King Day. But if you're interested in the Detroit Lions, and I have a feeling a few of you are, you should be listening to the Locked On Lions podcast, our brother podcast hosted by Matt Derry. You know him from Detroit Radio, so you should be listening to him and following them on all the social media channels. And remember to rep the squad, the authentic jersey subscription service that is trying its hand at Detroit. So Detroit fans, you should be trying your hands at them and showing your support to them and also to this podcast by using promo code LOCKED, that's LOCKED, for 2 weeks free. Also follow us on the Twitter handle for Locked On NBA Network at Locked On NBA Net. And you should be spreading the word about Locked On Pistons and rating us on iTunes as well. Follow us on all the social media channels, including our new Facebook page at Locked On Pistons-Matchup. We'll be talking more about the Pistons. I'll put some thoughts together on where I think this team is at and where I think they should be headed. And we'll talk about the Toronto Raptors, who the Pistons will play on Wednesday night, a little bit coming up on Wednesday's podcast as well. So thanks for joining us, everyone, and we'll talk to you again very soon.